Hello and welcome to the 6++ Show, a podcast for your wargaming and 40k needs. Hobby talk, tactics, tournament reports, lore and much more. We have it all. Please welcome your host for the evening, Tom.
Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, and shock jump dragsters to that 6++ show. I am your host, Tom, very lowest of men. I am back again to talk all things 40k with some of my best pals, the warriors of the 6++40k team, a bunch of bang average lovely lads who enjoy rolling dice and occasionally winning games. We're going to be talking about core stratagems tonight. So do shout out, you've got any questions in the chat about core stratagems, and we have some podcast questions we'll be fielding later on. Before we do that, I'm going to introduce everybody and we will natter about what's new on the 6++ channel. But I'm going to start where I always start by introducing my dear leader, Chris. Chris, how are you?
I am very well. I'm enjoying my Easter holidays, so I'm refreshed. I'm like waking up and I'm like, oh, I've got nothing to do. Oh, let's do some Warhammers.
So good.
It's quite a nice time to be alive.
It is actually a great time.
It is a good time. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Quite similar. My uni work is still spilling over into the break, unfortunately, but it is not too bad. And I've been painting some Beastmen who are coming along very nicely, painting some Bestigor. And
had your haircut?
Had my hair cut, had a shave, stopped looking like I'd been hit repeatedly in the face whilst living in the woods.
Excellent.
So yeah, I think that's all positive steps. So I'm excited for that, and I'm excited for us to make some content next week because we've got a bat rep in mind, but we'll save that because I've got to introduce some other people. I'm also joined. You haven't even heard him yet. He's being so well behaved. Very unlike him. I'm going to check that he's okay. Ed, are you all right?
I was threatened with being removed from the podcast just before we went live. So I'm on my best behavior. That's a lie. I threatened a coup. So I'm here to fucking revolt. It's a revolution. Yep. I will be loud and you can't stop me.
I think you would be most likely to lead a takeover of FFC, I reckon.
And then immediately relinquish power afterwards.
Okay.
It's the thrill of the chase.
He doesn't want it now, he's got it.
Oh god, no. You know what's really fucking boring? Being in charge.
Yeah, I agree. I've
been a manager.
I agree.
Shit sucks. You know what was really good? When I went to other shops and I was like, this is broken, we're gonna fix it. That was good. Then the returning back to the humdrum of like, you've been sick 3 times in the last 2 days. How is that possible? Anyway.
Is there anything new in your hobby world, Ed?
Yeah, I had a 4-day weekend. It was incredible. And I painted an entire 500 points of Old World because I definitely had remembered the deadline and was doing it ahead of time.
The deadline that you set, yeah.
First of all, I feel attacked right now, so I'm going to stop.
He
right
set
there.
It really aggressively as well. He's the most aggressive deadline setter in our whole team.
Midnight, April the 1st.
Or you're dead to me.
Done.
Yeah.
Not dead to me, dead.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Literally.
Yeah, but living on in your heart. And so what did you paint? What's in this 500 points, Ed?
Oh, well, you'll have to watch the Old World video coming out later this week.
That's good cross-promotion. I admire that. And have you played any games at all?
Yeah, I have a bat rep in the works, myself. Wonderful. Against Lewis's Vampire Counts. There is one coming before that, where I've played some ogres.
Nice.
But no spoilers. I had a much better time playing against Lewis than the last time where he beat me in 2 turns. And weirdly, that's not getting made into a bat rep. literally, like, we got to top of turn 3 and I was like, I think this is cooked, mate. Should we stop?
Bat rep maker's privilege is if it's gone badly, you just never release it. It goes in the vault.
Absolutely. And no one will ever know until I talk about it.
I am also joined tonight by a guest who has been on the show before, but is hopefully going to be in rotation a little bit more. It is the wonderful Rob Kimpton, my Dracari buddy. Rob, how are you doing?
Hey, good, yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's exciting to have you on. After making a Dracari video where I felt like I just talked about you every other sentence, I thought it was only fair to actually let you speak for yourself a little bit.
Very humbled by all the name drops.
Oh, well, it's important. It's important because there's so many ideas and team-related planning with that you have to be very honest. I don't like claiming anything that isn't mine. So what's new in your 40k or hobby life, Rob?
I've been painting some Howling Banshees. I've got an old about a year and a half ago I started a Eldar army and I've not touched them in probably over 6 months. Then
Perfect.
A couple of weeks ago the podcast that you guys did with talking about Hobby Mojo got me back into getting them out, so
we inspired
getting back
you.
Into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes finishing the thing is good. That was how my Votan happened. I was like, I was just getting the new army itch, and I was like, you could just actually finish all those Votan that are sat.
Armies right get there. Finished?
Yeah, sometimes. Well, mine never do, but they get closer. We get closer. We never arrive. Wonderful. All right. Well, I'm going to shout out a few people in the chat. Then we are going to do some self-promotion because we are very good at self-promotion, possibly the best. In the chat, we have Sean Capewell, Pickalax, Existence UK. Welcome. Scrivo is here saying he hates being a manager indeed. And Pickalax says, come to the good side, Rob, not the nasty spiky side. I don't think Eldar can have any claim to being the good side this edition, unfortunately. That's not last edition, maybe. But they're the baddies.
Oh, no, they had their moments. I remember. Remember that Farseer? There was just like, pew, 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 eight more
buttons. Something to do with D cannons as well, still.
Yeah, it was, yeah. D cannons again, actually. Yeah, D cannons are always sick.
Always there.
But they were kind of hidden under Harlequins, so no one really noticed them being completely insane until quite late in the edition. Harlequins took all the flak. Jack is also in the chat. Good evening, Jack. Nice to have you here. Do shout out. Let us know what you're doing. Are you building something? Are you hobbying? Are you plotting the demise of your local opponent? Let us know. If you want us to help you beat them, we can do that. But Chris, take the Pelusa roundup away. What's going on the channel?
Well, first of all, I need to announce last month in March was our best ever, according to the analytics, was our greatest ever month as a channel. So thank you. We had 20,000 views on our videos last month.
That's pretty nuts.
So it's pretty cool. Twice as many as normal. So clearly something we did in March worked. Who knows what that is?
The old world people are all saying it's old world.
Yeah, I mean, we all know it was the YouTube shorts. But
yeah. Did it start coming out like on the 27th?
Exactly. It's quite impressive, isn't it, Ed?
I think
quite impressive, the turnaround.
Clip it and ship it, boys. I want to see some fucking receipts this time next month. If I'm not seeing a 40,000 view count this time next year, this is when the coup actually happens.
Yeah,
I'm coming for you.
That's good.
And then immediately retiring.
It has been really exciting seeing all the numbers ticking up. So thanks to everyone who's watching and leaving comments and all that good stuff as well.
So what have we produced? Well, Tom had episode 2 of Return of the Archon, where he spoke about his Saffron Slam GT win. So if you're like, or if you're interested in Drakari and want to know how they operate and how you can win GTs with them, then that is the video for you.
Be lucky.
Ed and Scrivo talk about the retaliation cadre in cracking the codex. Tom has got a members only video where he talks about rapid ingress and why you should be using it. So
I'm going to be lying today when we talk about rapid ingress. Everything I'm going to say on this free stuff for schmucks, complete lies. I'm going to misdirect, but if you want the truth, you have to go to members only.
Absolutely. And we are getting more and more members now. So obviously, this is something we've always spoken about as a channel, like, do you, when you don't have many members, do you release member-only content knowing hardly anyone is going to be watching it to try and draw people in? Or do you kind of wait till more people have joined before starting releasing it? So we're getting quite a few or more and more members coming in on a weekly basis. Yeah. So we're going to be putting out more and more member-only content. So definitely now is the time to sign up as a member.
100%.
Very simple thing to do.
I'm trying to target quite a lot at it, kind of sort of, like, we've got people for mentoring and stuff, trying to target it, that kind of like core skills, strategy type stuff that we're often working on with them anyway to make it very relevant. So yeah, absolutely.
I'm saying you get early access to all of our videos and that sort of thing. So check that out. One extra thing to do, immediately click off that full screen thing that you might have currently right now, go and like the video.
Yes.
Because, you know, let's try and work that algorithm, maybe leave a comment, whatever you need to do. Get our beautiful faces slightly smaller just for a little bit so you can like this video. In terms of other videos, we've got Davey went live on Monday for Bug Watch, where he spoke about March's best tyranny lists, and the sound level was actually okay. I mean,
was he on his own?
Was he muted for the first minute and a half? Maybe. But as long as we fix that, then it's all fun. And then finally, I have carried on doing some shorts. So if you are interested in faction specific shorts about how bullshit certain factions are, then I've got one on Eldar. I've got one on Grey Knights. Angron 1 will come out tomorrow.
Oh, that's exciting.
And then I've got Drakari and Custodes still to come as well. And they're, you know, like 40, 50 second funny things. We've also, I should say, I have set up a TikTok account where I'm putting these and I'll put other things as well. So check that out. It's exactly the same tag as always, 6++ Gaming. But yeah, that's where we're at. We've got plenty of stuff in the pipeline, old world stuff coming out. I filmed a battle report, Tau versus Eldari, yesterday with Jack, which is one point in it Like, super exciting, intense game. I just had a package delivered today. Not quite everyone. One of Tom's friends called Steel City, which is a terrain set, which is going to be a Kickstarter. I'm going to be reviewing that as well.
Oh, are we going to play our bat ref on that?
And we're going to be playing our battle port on Steel City terrain. So that'll be cool. But yeah, lots of exciting stuff in the pipeline.
Yeah, it's a really exciting time. Really enjoying all the support, and we're going to keep on chucking stuff out. So thanks so much. And yeah, do keep hitting those like, subscribe buttons. Come be a member. It's a good time. Right, shout out to Chris Cad, who says, listening whilst playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. You are all very distracting. That is what we do. That is what we are about, being very distracting. And Piccolex is painting a Skitat Wraith Knight. I'm never sure how you say that. But apparently it one-shotted a Nightbringer. That is, I believe, what it was brought in to do. So I'm glad that it does that job. That's awesome. Really. Yeah, fantastic. Right, okay. So we will get into our core stratagems today. I was joking on our Facebook earlier on that this is why I wanted Rob on, because he played Real Space Raid Drakari for months, and the core stratagems were the best stratagems that you had access to.
Two best stratagems in the game.
So we're going to work through these. I'm going to get our various caster players here to offer some of their thoughts, any tips and tricks, any examples of stuff in action, what they think of it. And hopefully you'll come away with some useful advice. So I'm going to just work down the app, because I'm a professional and I've got the app open, starting with the old faithful command reroll.
This is the worst stratagem in the game, by the way. Hands down, this is the worst stratagem. Do you know how many games collectively you motherfuckers have lost because you spent your CP on CP rerolls when you shouldn't have done? Spoiler, it's upsettingly high. Stop doing it.
Yep, I do it. I reroll like wounds on like a Ravager. It's disastrous. It's so bad.
No, what you got to do is you look at it and you go, that sucked, and move on with your life.
Do you know what's great about it, Ed?
Yeah.
When someone does that, then you vect it and it costs them 2 CP next time.
when I was playing, oh god, I can't remember who it was. One of my opponents at Manchester, I was like, so what can I vect? Oh, I think it was Josie. Yeah, yeah. She laughed and went, none of them are battle tactics. So I just I used my Kalidus Assassin, vected the first, you know, battle tap, the command reroll. Yeah, thank you. And at one point, she did use a 2 CP reroll, which made me very happy as I lost the game. but I was like, oh, moral victory.
Got you. Absolutely. Is there a case that we should never be doing this? When do you guys?
No, it is good.
How do you rationalize it? How do we work through this and sort of sift out when it's actually useful?
Save it for charges if you're playing combat armies.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, yes, absolutely. Definitely. Charges is a huge one.
Try to equate it to points, I guess. Yep. So, it is certainly hard. Like, you know, you've got that final model on one wound on an objective, and you're like, if I save this, then I'm going to get a 5 on primary or whatever. Then it's a matter of thinking, well, is there any more other shootings? It's the final shot. Yeah. And it's trying to equate the points to the CP expenditure some of the time, I think. Like,
Completely. Do
I get value out of this? Does this thing surviving actually have that positive effect in terms of like points or ability to do something, or would it just be nice to keep it alive or to get this hit or whatever? I think that's how I kind of think about it anyway.
It's very sensible, yeah. And I'd add to that, think about the odds of the reroll being any use as well. I think that's useful, right? Like, if it's a very likely thing and you've been unlucky for it not to happen and you need it to happen, it's like, well, then, you know, 2 up, 3 up, whatever. Chris Cat says you will roll another one. Some people will. I know John Scrivens will. He's very, very good at that. Everyone knack for ones.
I like it on saves. I think that's where I really like it. If you've got a 4 up invuln, that's big. Even just like, you know, you stand there, you sort of put your hand on your CP down, you go, do I really re-roll this? And you just watch your opponent's heart plummet as they go,
please don't
fuck
do it. Please don't do it. Yeah,
have
yeah,
I
yeah,
not
yeah.
killed a fucking 50-point custodian model because he's just going to CP and he's been making like 70% of his 4-ups? Yeah, I'm going to CP it. Oh, it's alive. That was the last thing. Sound, yeah. And then I'm going to res one in your turn. And that sucks for you.
Yeah.
That's where absolutely. I like it.
Sean Cable says, not for that 11-inch charge. Then. No, I would agree, Sean.
If it wins you the game.
If it's game-winning, or if you're Paul James, then reroll all your charges.
So I think that's a good point, if it's game-winning. If you're pulling yourself out of a bad situation, a CP reroll gets much better. If you're like, I've identified the 20% chance of win play, I'm going to do everything I can to make it go off.
Exactly.
I failed the 10-inch charge. I'm going to reroll it, because if I make this, I'm back in the game. At that point, it's a really valuable tool.
Completely. I always find this with Votann into things like Eldar, where it's like, or certainly the older Eldar builds, where it's like, I am only going to get one chance to get my big brick in the right place. Otherwise, it's not getting there. So it's like, it's well worth rerolling that charge and just trying to make it. But obviously, again, as with many things, you can build rerolls into your list, so you don't need CP. Get reroll charges on stuff if you can. I've learned, again, from watching Rob, to actually empower my charges when they look a bit peaky for Jakari, because then you're not wasting precious CP on getting into the right places. Sometimes a pain token's well worth it for that. Yeah. Okay, wonderful.
And just in that situation, it pays for itself, because the pain token comes back when your melee unit inevitably mulches whatever the fuck it's connected with. So it was worthwhile.
Yeah. All right, next up we have counter-offensive strategic ploy. You will know this as interrupt. This is when you can fight immediately after one of your opponent's units, interrupting their pattern of fights in the fight phase.
This is the second best strat in the game.
Still great, right? Still really good.
I'm just going to make a hot take tier list for all of them. So this is number two. You know why it's number two? Because I'm playing Custodes. Motherfucker. There are no good charges. I will, like, whatever you do, I'll be like, I have 4 CP. I will have all of the things, thank you very much. And this is one of them.
I don't think I've used it yet.
No, you're bad. And or you don't play melee units.
Like you
need it for Eldar.
No, you really don't.
Eldar don't need many of these.
No, my opponent's like, oh, you do you want to interrupt? Well, I could interrupt, but that'd be silly. And it's 2 CP, right? But I can see it's... I mean, imagine, like, I'll direct this randomly at someone like Tom. Imagine forgetting about the stratagem.
I did.
When you're playing into World Eaters.
I did forget about it.
That would be a bad move, wouldn't it?
I got gaslit. The guy was talking about his minus one damage so much that he conned me. He conned me! He wouldn't shut up about minus one damage, and then he didn't interrupt instead because I'm an idiot. Although, yeah, not good.
There is some interesting things you can do with this, but it's not always about doing damage, though, as well. You can use it to...
Base stuff.
So if playing Drukhari, if someone tags a raider in a unit, you can suddenly interrupt with the raider, tag everything, and then your unit doesn't die.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a big thing in like 8th and 9th as well.
Harder to do now, you have to base, I guess.
Yeah,
I remember doing it against Chris's Twilight Harlequins back when they could just coast miles and miles.
6 inches,
and interrupting with like neophytes that are never going to hit or hurt Twilight Harlequins was like, I just want to keep you where you blooming are so you don't go anywhere else.
I had one at Manchester, round 4. I can't remember his name. Viewer of the podcast. Hello, if you're watching. He charged me with a squad to stop me from getting the free heroic intervention with my Blade Champ. Good move. But he only had enough charge to like get the front couple of models. And then I, in my turn, was like, cool, I'm going to fight first with this squad here. Or interrupt, I think it was, because he'd fought elsewhere. So one of the two. And piled the models in and fought the unit he was trying to stop me from, you know, getting into. It's so hard to shut down like a beefy melee unit on the strat if you've got something like counter-offensive to fuck with them.
Yeah, it's massive. And if you're playing a sort of combat-heavy game or matchup, and the opponent is saving up those CP, the matchup gets harder and harder, right? There's more of those kind of nasty tricks. I'm actually terrible at remembering to do this. I don't remember to do this at all. But players that do, scary as all hell. Got to watch out for them. Okay, wonderful. Next up, we have Epic Challenge. This is the one where a character can get precision and go after an enemy character in the fight phase.
Conditional number 3.
Yeah, I don't think I've really used this.
Have you played against many Necron players?
Yeah, but I use Lilith for that, and she gets it already.
Apologies, you have the strat baked in. How foolish of me for forgetting. I fucking love this. It's so good.
It's so important, isn't it? You give the example like the Wraiths and the Technomancer and that sort of thing. Just it gets away those buffs. The same like when we had Wraithguard around, people trying to get into that spirit sphere. So I guess from the other angle, one thing you really want to be careful of is knowing the strat exists, being like, oh, have you got any precision? Oh, you have no precision. Oh, I can just leave these characters out in the open. No, an important thing to remember is precision needs line of sight. So you could have your unit out, but you could have your character behind the wall, for example, which was the classic thing with the Wraithguard. You had your 10 Wraithguard out, and then the Spirit Seal was behind the wall, so that when they got charged, they couldn't precision out the Spirit Seal. So that is just something to be, in general, if they've got precision, and something to be thinking of. But obviously, because any character can have precision, that's an especially important thing to be thinking about.
Yeah, and there's some characters in the game where if you can take them out, the the power of that unit drops off in a massive way, right? Lamartis is in my head. I've been playing against Blood Angels a lot lately. Yeah. If you can get rid of Lamartis, that Death Company brick becomes a lot more manageable.
Or the Asang Priest if they're taking it with Fanvets.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was going to say, like, we're talking about Necron, yes. We're talking about Necrons as if they're, like, the big bad to use against. Every army brings buffing characters.
How it works, yeah.
Like, almost everyone is just like, here's my Death Star. Here's a unit that goes in the Death Star. You know what would be really cool? Precision out Lilith. Just, you know, too bad, so sad.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It does happen.
Yeah.
It does happen. She's been hit by Shalaxy Hellbane before. She didn't like that.
I mean, it's a 3CP combo to interrupt and precision, but if you've got 3CP, that is the most valuable 3CP you'll ever spend in your life.
Yeah, it's really
so
good.
Do it.
Absolutely. All right. Next up, Insane Bravery. This is the old pass the morale test. Reminder, you now have to do this before you roll a battle shock test.
And it's only once a battle.
Yeah. This just goes back to Chris's point, isn't it? You only ever use this if there's a massive swing. Because, usually your leadership, my whole army is leadership 6. Chances are we're going to pass it. If it's not a massive swing, there's no point for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely.
I'm going to grudgingly put it in.
If there's
six.
Like one unit on an objective and you're like, this is 5 primary, if they make this. And I need 5 primary right now. That's a big deal.
I find I use it probably more games than I don't. I hate using it. I resent the CP, but you're like, this is objectively the right thing to do. Yeah. Now I don't get to do something cool in the turn, but I'm going to win the game. So, you know.
That's how you win games, isn't it? Not rolling dice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Or just rolling enough. That's the dichotomy there.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, exactly as Rob says, it's something you're not really ever wanting to spend your CP on. But that's why it's really important, I think, just being understanding game. We've all been in those situations potentially where we're like, we just forget that it's actually only a hold one, hold more. And, they've knocked me off. It's such an instinct. Oh, they've knocked me off that my home, no man's land home objective. Oh, I could fail this and then I don't get the... I won't get my primary. I'll do the battle shock test. I'll automatically pass it. And actually, the mission was purge the foe, and I only needed to hold my home field anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just that taking that step back and thinking, when you're doing those battle shock tests, actually, does failing... Yeah, I think for me, it's like, does failing this have an impact on what I want to do? Like, am I planning on doing a stratagem? Right? Is there a really important offensive stratagem that I'm going to be doing in this like particular situation, and do therefore I need it? But usually I think probably on the whole it is probably just making sure you hold that objective, isn't it? Not risking it
completely. And for scoring as well, for some of the secondaries you need to not be battle shot, right? So every now and again it's like, that's the only guy in that corner could get me, you know, engage,
especially if you've gone
signals, whatever else. Yeah, exactly. When you're on fix, or both at once, yeah, exactly, then you don't want to be battle shocked. So that's it's one of those ones that does feel like a real drag. You're never glad to have played it, but coming up next is one that always makes me happy. It's Grenade, ladies and gentlemen. We've got Bloomin' Grenade in here. One of my favourite strats in the whole game. Where are you putting this one, Ed?
3. Definitely 3. Yeah. Only because the other two are so fucking good.
And
I'm coming to realise...
real space raid stratagem, in my opinion.
I haven't left a gap for rapid ingress. And this is...
Oh, no. You paid yourself into a corner. I have all of those on a just auto button. Like.
Oh, yeah. I slam rapid ingress every game I play of Warhammer ever. It's so good.
Yeah, it's so good. So, Grenade. Rob, what do we think of Grenade in the Drakari household?
In Drakari household, it's probably the best strat that we have access to.
Yeah.
There's something good about Scourge.
It's Scourge.
With
it's
four,
just
four,
Scourge.
Four Dark Lances that fully reroll. You know what's better than that? Throwing a grenade at something before you do that.
Yeah, it's so fun. They're like, why are they coming forward? It's like, well, one of them has a present for you.
No, I've changed my mind. It's number 10. Every it doesn't have the grenade keyword and is tanky. So like my Catan and my Custodes get grenades. I'm like, sorry. Please continue.
Reminder on the effects of grenade. It's you roll 6 dice and it's just 4 ups to do 1 mortal wound. So that has a lot of variance. It can do lots. It can do very little. You got to be within 8, I think it is. And your unit, the unit you use it on, has to have not shot. So don't shoot it first. That's how this can go wrong.
Classic mistake.
A classic mix-up.
Oh, I shot my unit. Oh, actually, I think I'll play grenade as well.
Can't do that.
Oh, will
you? Exactly.
Gained information. That's one of the few things I'll not let you do.
And you know what you can do, though? You can fall back and use it.
Yes, that's fun. Very fun.
It's not an attack, right? It's just,
not an attack.
Are you eligible?
It doesn't need to be eligible.
Doesn't
just
say
not,
eligible
not
to
being
shoot.
Selected to
yeah.
shoot.
So you can fall back and throw grenades if someone tries to tag you with chaff.
That's... I've never realized that. That's super upsetting.
Yeah, it's very naughty. But it's just good for cutting through armor, isn't it? Or MSU hate it. Any tiny little one wound units just evaporate. They don't like it. If there's an obnoxious lone op, needs getting rid of. I've grenaded Wayleaper so many times. so many times at this point. Yeah. It's getting embarrassing. Not least because I get to try twice every game.
Out of phase damage into that sort of unit is so strong.
Yeah, exactly.
Between this and another strat we're going to talk about was the only way that I think a majority of people were dealing with the Incarn.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So grenade was amazing for stuff like that. All the damage reduction stuff, anything that doesn't have like a good feel no pain is very, very vulnerable to grenade. And so it's extremely useful. And it's worth just checking and remembering which of your guys have it, because it can be surprising, right? Yeah. Infernal Master in Thousand Suns has got it for some reason, but other wizards don't. He's just got some grenades in there somewhere. Next up, we have Tank Shock.
It's number two.
You like it. Okay, yeah. Rob likes it. Rob likes Tank Shock. Okay.
It's not reliable, but it's bonus damage.
It is.
So what are the strength of your Jakari vehicle? Six.
I'm only rolling six dice on a five up, so it's not great. But it's mortal wounds when my army does not have mortal wounds in it.
Yeah, this is the thing. Jakari need it. Like grenade and Tank Shock are their dev wounds. Like that's where they get it from. Other
especially
than
especially because charge pace.
And in real space raids, you don't have any combat units, really. No. You have a court, and that's about it, and Lilith.
Yeah. If you've missed the window with grenade to finish something off, charging in with Tank Shock is very, very nice instead.
It helps clear the way for stuff as well. Like, you just need to, like, let's say they put a wound marker on, like, an end model on the unit and that sort of thing. And so you can use, when you charge in, they've got to take, well, it doesn't matter where you're charging, they've got to take that model away. So you're killing those models. So you're potentially creating space. So I think, it's just that, creating that room and or comparative. So for me as an Eldar player, it's obviously similar to Rob, right? It's like the Night Spinner, Fine Prism, Hull type things, which aren't rolling too many dice. But when you come in with like a Grandmaster Dread Knight with a hammer and he's rolling probably 16 dice.
Or a carnivore.
You're suddenly putting out your six mortal wounds, like reasonably consistently, five, and that's then really powerful.
Could you, and I know that people don't really runner anymore, but could you Tank Shock with like a falcon, kill a small unit, bring over your gun, go, now I charge you.
Well, that was one of the things, when I used to do, when I did my Incarn video, you could kill something. So what you could do was charge the Incarn one place of the board, charge somewhere else, Tank Shock, kill it. The Incarn then teleports over to the dead place. And because you've declared a charge, you could then like pile in and consolidate and that sort of
thing. That's spicy.
There were various things. Or you could have just teleported over and then declared a charge of the Incarn also. Like there were loads of things with the Incarn. It's because the Incarn was bae. Loved the Incarn.
Nothing stopped you from playing her.
I'm starting to miss it now. I would like it back. Yeah.
You don't really.
Play it in our back rep.
The other thing this is good for is getting around things like fight on death. It's like World Eaters because they can't fight on death because it's not the fight phase yet.
It's a very powerful strat, but you have to not be a Tyranid player, right?
That is one thing. Monsters can't take it. Ridiculous.
There's a detachment for that.
Well, they're not tanks, right? So, fuck them.
It feels unfair. Unfair on the poor Griblies.
I've put Tank Shock down at 8. And this is from the perspective of someone who plays armies that kill stuff when they connect. So I understand my perspective is different to yours. But playing Chaos Knights, I was like, I could Tank Shock or my Carnivore is going to rip you limb from limb. I didn't find the Mortal Wounds super valuable. And I was doing more important stuff with the CP. So I put it a lot lower than I think you fancy boys with your spindly armies that are like, I must live on the knife edge. Do I do that one extra wound? I win the game. And I'm like, so you take 36 damage. How many wounds you got? One? Sound.
Charge two things, Tank Shock one, kill the other.
That's fair. That's fair.
Rob's got a ghost coming in the back. Right. We've got Rapid Ingress next.
Watch the video. Cool, next.
No, we can't just say watch the video because Ed will want to talk about Rapid Ingress. So I have just done a video on this on our members only. Do go and have a look if you want a 15-minute rant on the beauty that is Rapid Ingress. But we'll do a little bit of justice to it now. Ed, off you go.
So part of the reason I moved for Grenade from 3rd to 10th was so I had a spot for Rapid Ingress. It's so fucking good. It's like when I look at my game plan, I go sound. So I don't get a CP on my opponent's turn 2. How do I play around this? Because I'm just going to be doing it. You know what's great? Telling your opponent you can do it, and then not doing it.
Yeah.
You know what's great? Your opponent forgetting they can screen you out, and then you just go, you're happy with your movement? You go, yeah. I'm going to Rapid Ingress. Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to put 7 models in your deployment zone. Oh. Oh, yeah. Something that happened to me less than a month ago. Great times had by all, and by all I mean me.
Yeah.
It's incredible. You get to see where your opponent's guns are, then you put the unit down.
Yeah, it's nuts. Phantasm was good because they did all the stuff and then you responded to it. This is exactly the same, just not quite as powerful. It's still really, really, really good.
I'm pretty sure if you go back and watch on launch, I was probably fucking raging at this strat because it's so fucking good. It skews the game in such an unpleasant way to deal with. And I was like, wait, but what if I use it and no one else remembers to do it?
Yes.
Huh. I just win games.
Yeah,
it's fucking incredible.
I legitimately think it is the difference between good and not good players in 10th. I think if you see someone aware of and exploiting Rapid Ingress, and bearing in mind there are some armies that don't need to, but if any of the armies that can, you've got to be using it or be aware of it. And if you're not, that is a basic entry level to playing the game quite well in this edition, I think. It's really, really, really
good. You know what? I think I shoot myself in the foot with the strategy more than it helps me. Because I look at it from like a defensive point of view.
Of course
you do. And I always see the holes in my thing. And I always ask my opponent, do you want to Rapid Ingress after my movement phase? I'm like, why did I just say that?
No. Never remind them they can do it.
I always do, and I always regret it, yeah.
I say a very pointed... That's the end of my movement phase. And then I move on.
It's like when you pre-measure out like ranges to your opponents, like when they're playing like their first GT and like, okay, sound, I'm just going to, and how far you can move, and you put some dice down. And you just see the cogs turn in their brain and go, oh, I'm going to do that against you. That's really good. Yeah, like, oh, for fuck's sake. Now my game got like 2% harder.
Yeah, it's super good.
I think that's one interesting thing, and it depends entirely on how you play the game in general as a person. But when your opponent goes, so is at the end of your movement phase, and then you go, oh, he's thinking of Rapid Ingress. I'm like, just thinking about it. And then you really start looking out for like the, have I left any Rapid Ingress gaps? So as a player, you might be thinking, maybe I shouldn't say,
and again,
is that the end of your movement phase? Because if you say, is that the end of your movement phase? A player's going to go, oh shit, they're thinking of Rapid Ingressing.
Yeah,
if you wait until they go, right, okay, I'm going to shoot blah, blah.
And that is exactly when you go.
Then you go, oh, by the way, oh, you're done with your movement, cool. I'm just going to Rapid Ingress now. Yeah. Then that is just something to be aware of, I guess.
Yeah, very much so.
If you want to play the game on hard mode and treat every tournament event as practice, do just point out that you got Rapid Ingress.
Yeah, exactly.
I should stop doing it. I do still do it. I'm trying to stop, but it's so ingrained. I'm just like, hey, you've missed something, bud. Oh,
I just tell people that I've got X in reserve, and I remind them at the start of each turn that it's relevant. And I think that's a lot of information, and it's again, it really is on them to understand. Otherwise, they get the surprise incubi venom of death, and that's just how it goes. I love that thing; it's so fun because there's always a hole somewhere. All right, next we have. Come on, phone. My phone's abandoned me. What we got
Fire
next?
Overwatch.
Go to ground. Fire Overwatch.
Overwatch, I mean...
Worst strat in the game. I hate it. Get rid of it.
Yeah, no Jakari bias on this show, but also remove Overwatch from the game.
I just think it doesn't have enough restrictions.
They've got to bring guns.
They've got to bring guns. They have to be within 24 inches, which is quite far. They need to see you to use those guns.
And they have to have some sort of efficiency boost on a 6, otherwise it's a bad strat.
Or a flamer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those two. Who runs those?
Those two. Dante has sustained D3 on his melter pistol, by the way.
I love a fucking sustained, like, a weapon that should be sustained. the Avatar spear.
The Avatar
is going to sustain 14.
Oh, you've moved. The Avatar kills you. Your vehicle's not dead.
I got
surprise.
At Manchester, I got Overwatch by broadsides, and he rolled 2 sixes, and it was turn 3, so I was like, oh, I just take 4 hits. Oh no, I'm playing Custodes. That's really fucking bad.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good.
Yeah.
It's fundamentally changed the game in how powerful it is. I think you have to be very, very aware of it. And obviously, as a player looking to exploit it, you just want to set up those units in the right places, don't you? So, cheeky Baal Predator on the flank, John Scriven's looking at you. And anything like that. And again, yeah, being aware of your sustained, because sustained makes Overwatch into a much more serious problem.
5 on the rankings.
But don't do it just in a throwaway, meaningless, chipper thing. Fashion. Avoid doing it for the sake of it. Don't get blood.
Does
hungry.
It prevent their points? Injuries is a classic. Like, oh, it looks like they've moved everything, and this is the final thing they're going to put on that objective, and it's going to be a cleanse or whatever. Oh, maybe I could, but exactly. You've got to look at the maths, haven't you? Really, like, is it remotely likely that I'm going to? Don't just pray for that ridiculous role to try and get you out of it, because it's a waste of CP.
The real use is don't spend your CP on it. Remind your opponent you have it. Yeah. Remind them that you've got flamers and or, you know, an Overwatch threat, and they go, oh, fuck, I can't step into the midboard. Oh. And they go, cool, yeah, no, I'm not going to Overwatch you. And then they do the same thing on the next, you know, unit, and like, oh, no, I gotta, I'm not going to do it. And they get to the last one, which is the valuable one, and maybe there spend the CP, but like, fucking eat, maybe don't. Maybe just like make them really non-optimal choices where they've bunched their entire army into the middle to try and like bait out the Redeemer flame as you've gone, actually, I'm not feeling it. I'm going to wait for the charge.
Crush.
Yeah, and that's it, isn't it? Like, you don't have to do it in the movement phase, right? And I, in the battle report I played with Jack, it's like, there's a moment where I'm like, well, he's got such a powerful Overwatch with lots of shots and exposing sixes, blah, blah, blah. So I'll just throw something out, and then you just try and, you know, trying to bait it out. But as soon as they do it, I'm like, especially as like Eldar MSU, I'm like, sweet, now I can move all my other stuff and I'm not worrying about it. So actually having that Overwatch in the tank is quite, because I'm then really careful about where I'm putting things rather than putting that first thing out, getting out and then going, cool, now I can do. And obviously it depends on your army, right? But for the likes of the Eldar and Drakari, it's Overwatch is a really powerful shooting phase against them, because you can just lose a 5-man for free, which you don't, or 1 CP, which you don't want to be doing.
Exactly that. Yeah. Next up, we have Go to Ground, which has grown on me. I hadn't even thought about this until about a month ago, and now I like it. So
Jack used it for the first time in my 10th edition career in the battle report.
Yeah.
I mean, as an Eldar player, right, something's out, it's probably dead.
It's dead anyway, right? Yeah.
And you get cover so easily in the game. I think that's probably why we don't see it as much, because generally you've got cover in some form or the other, but absolutely it can be super powerful if you're slightly out of position or they get a different angle you weren't expecting.
Yeah, so this gives you cover and a 6-up invulnerable save on an infantry unit when you're targeted, right?
Going to put this at 6. I reckon there's 2 units you use this on. 2-up save Custodes or Terminators who are in the open.
Or Mega Knobs.
Or Mega Knobs, yeah. Or
invest in Mega Knobs.
Hordes.
Yeah.
The other unit that orcs can bring. Hello, yes, I would like to use this stratagem on my army. It's great. Just the 6-up invun sometimes is going to go, oh, that actually saves enough that I'm really happy about that.
Yes, when you have that one guy who survives when they should have died, then you can pop in same bravery and hold that point.
Yeah, exactly that. And it's just that little bit of, again, someone has undercommitted into something or has committed what they think is just enough. Because it appears to be out in the open, they're like, okay, I'll pop this out, that'll deal with it. And then you're like, no, what if this was just that little bit harder than you thought it was going to be? Very, very good. Very, very powerful. In the right context. Next up, we have good old Smokescreen. Don't think I've ever played anything that can use Smokescreen.
Quite lots of things can, they just don't bother. I had a Rhino do it, and Fugan missed, and then missed again, and it genuinely almost cost me, it made a huge impact on the game, because Fugan was supposed to kill the Rhino, suddenly Fugan missed. But it's so niche, isn't it? You don't really see it very often.
No, you really don't.
I think
trying to kill a Land Raider with smoke and Armor Contempt is quite difficult.
I think that's the only place it's really valuable.
Yeah. Swings it sometimes, but just know what is it a bunch of rerolled shooting coming in? It's not going to matter that much.
Yeah.
If it's not, if it's already relying on its baseline efficiency and you can throw it off, it's really, really good.
You know what? Stonks and this are going up because we're going to see some orcs. And you know what orcs hit on? Fives.
They do hit on fives.
If orc shooting's good, which, you know,
it might be.
I'm not going to reach for the fucking buggy that's to my right. You've seen it enough times. You know it's there. but if you're making me hit in sixes, I am sad. I am real fucking sad. But, yeah.
Yeah, completely.
Nine.
It really hurts those worse shooting armies if you can get it off. Jack's got a nice point in the chat about go to ground, that you can stack it with the Invun buff from the World Eater's Demon Prince. That's cute. I like that. That's some cute
stuff. With a 4-up Invun.
Yeah, lovely times. Really, really good. Finally. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. It is Heroic Intervention, which you might remember as a thing that just controlled the entire board state throughout all of 9th edition, but is now a 2 CP strat where you get to roll a 6-inch charge.
I have used it 3 times. I've made that charge once.
You have to be within 6 inches to legally declare it.
You've seen me charge.
You normally make charges into me.
He's not a lucky man when it comes to his charges.
Yeah. Someone go back and fucking scrape the vid. Tell me which number I haven't put in. It is overdub number here on the tier list. It's fine. You know, it's really good when you can do it for free. You know, it's really not any other time. Mm. Yeah. It's 2 fucking CP.
Yeah.
I'm just going to interrupt instead. Thanks.
Yeah. Every now and again, I think if someone's trying to like play cute and clever on an objective and like prune your OC off it, but go around, you know, a Catan or something, and you're like, no, I'm not going to allow you to do this nonsense, then it is relevant. But it's because of the risks involved now, and the expense of it. Usually, as a fight phase army in particular, it's either things like fight on death or interrupt or reducing damage. All these things that actually make that fight go better for you.
Yeah, and you don't count as charging, so you don't get fight first. So you get. You give them an opportunity to hit whatever it is. It has to be something durable.
Yeah.
That's, I think, why I don't like it, because it's 2 CP, so you're probably not also using an interrupt or a fight's first ability. You might not have CP for a defensive ability, so you just go in, maybe?
Yeah.
I guess it's nice if your opponents made a short charge when they needed a long charge. You can base them and go, now you can only put 5 models here, 5 models here. Now you don't kill either of my big units. It's fine.
It's very niche.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That is all of the core stratagems. Is there anything that you guys are missing, would like to see added or changed, or do we think we've got a pretty good suite now? I think in general it covers a lot of the key cases.
Rapid ingress, but after your opponent's charge phase.
Oh, God.
Good grief.
Coming to a custodian's book near you.
Yeah. Rapid outgress, where you just go back into reserves at the end of their movement phase.
Yeah.
That'd be very silly.
That would be better than Phantasm. That would be terrifying.
I'll tell you what I miss, actually. I miss Cut Them Down from the edition where you do the little spiteful mortals when they try and fall back. That was a good time.
I have had quite a few times recently where I've gone, I wish I could fuck you up as you left. But then it's only ever mortals as well, and everyone's playing armies with multiple wound models. Not for long, but right now people are playing multi-wound model armies. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Sounds like you need to run some more witches, Tom.
I do need to run some more witches. I do love witches.
Oh, yes.
Witches are so fun. I think that's the whole suite. I wonder if there's a couple in here that... I don't know that Heroic Intervention necessarily needs to be 2 CP. I feel like
I'd love to see Command Point Reroll go away.
I agree.
I'd like to see it once again. I'd like to see it like...
Nah, fuck it. Nothing. Sorry, continue.
You could make the case for almost everything in here being once again, and I wouldn't ban either. If you told me the whole set was once again, I'd be all right with that.
I was going to say, no, very reasonable. Don't make rapid ingress once again. And I was like, but I only ever use it once again.
Twice again.
But yeah, if I'm running Venatari, I get 3-1, which I'm assuming you'd still get to do. You'd break the rules on there. So yeah, fuck it, make that once again.
Jack says he misses auto explode in the chat. That was a good time. That was a good time.
Well, if you play Tau, you can spend 2 CP to either auto explode or not auto explode. Do watch the Cracking the Codex video, breaking that one down for Retaliation Cadre.
Want cast Storm Surge with that is where it's at.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, and Existence UK also reminds us there is one for ditching a tactical card. Yeah, that's true. Not in here, is it? But that is
That's in the mission pack, the Leviathan mission pack.
Do it as late as possible. Basically.
Yeah, don't do it early on. Do it late. Do it late.
Simply because if you do it early on, your ability to score, you've got all of the different options, and your ability due to your placement on the board isn't going to be as good as later on in the game, where you are more aware of your options and you're hopefully more spread out across the board.
It effectively costs you 2 CP too, because you will be cycling that card if you use it.
Better to cycle 3 at the earliest is my general point.
Yeah, don't panic if you don't get as much secondaries in the first turn or two, but be ready to
four
get
five. It's a turn 4-5 thing.
I think if you don't get good secondaries on turn 2, that's when you should start to panic. You can't do anything about it, but by end of two,
if you've not scored any, you are in a real problem.
Oh, fuck.
You've got a real problem at that point. Yeah.
I need to capture enemy outposts. I need to investigate for 8. I'm playing a 4 model, like a 4 unit army. I'm going to do this. Yeah, I need the points.
Yeah. Jack reckons about round 3 is the best time. I think 4 usually.
Yeah, 4. By 5, you've got nothing.
There is
left.
Also the I've got 2 units left. Please, can I draw a card I can do in battle round 5? Hail Mary.
Your opponent's one of these 3 cards. Yeah. In round 5. I will spend a CP for that to roll these dice.
You've scored up the points. Your opponent's talked through their turn 5 because there's fucking nothing for them to do and they can't kill you anyway. And you go, so if I get 7 points on secondary, I win the game. Draw, right, okay, bring it down. You don't have any vehicles, but I do have a CP, and I win! Nothing more heartbreaking than that. It's fucking soul-destroying.
Always. Play for the late-game heartbreak, that's what we're all about.
Actually, get rid of it. Fuck that strat. Fuck these kids. Get them out of here.
Fantastic. Right, we are going to move it on to some podcast questions now, so if you have additional podcast questions, shoot them in the chat. No one has yet super chatted to donate to buy Chris a hat, otherwise he would be wearing it. I'm deeply disappointed in all of you. It is not too late to contribute to Chris's hat fund. Get on it. In the meantime, I'm going to fish some stuff out of the Discord.
I've just remembered a hat that I own that I had made. I had a hat custom made, and this was after Orcs got fucked with the 9th edition buggies limited to you can only run 3 of each.
LGT.
Yeah, I got an Orc green hat, and I had printed onto the front of it, make Orcs great again. So I think I'm going to have to bust that out for the next couple of weeks of content.
Yeah, that might end up being extremely timely. Yeah, absolutely. Very, very nice. Cool. So, Brain Seller asks, what's the best way to use Rapid Ingress to its full potential?
Play Custodes.
Start by using it at all. Build your way up. Become a member and watch my video. But also, I mean, you're going to want to use it to affect the score, like we've been saying. So, do you have units that really body primary? It's good on them. Do you have units that can sneak in and body primary? It's good on them. Do you have units that can sneak into important spaces for scoring the cards? Good on them as well. All of those different things. And then you use the threat of it as much of anything as well.
None of those things. Put a big melee unit in reserve and go, I must see my opponent's models crushed. I must see them driven before me. I must hear the rolling ones on saves of their women and just go, you can't score any points if you're dead, dickhead. That's the correct way to use it.
That is Ed agreeing with me because of how he ended that sentence, but I'm fully here for it.
If you want to see
them... on deep strikers and strategic reserves.
The one edge case I will say carnivores are really good with it because you can walk through walls for a CP and you move 14 inches. So they come in from a board edge. They basically go where they want. It doesn't matter.
Or great unclean ones.
That was fun. Didn't win me enough games, so didn't repeat it.
We next have, are units or characters that give additional CP an auto include?
Yes, unless they're not. Way so the ones that are good, yes.
If it's a lone up as well, like the Wayleaper.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a have and have not, isn't it, across factions?
If that's a secondary thing that it can do as well, then I'd say yeah. But if it's just for the CP, then it's got quite a big opportunity cost there potentially.
Yeah, if you're playing like if you're running Necrons, you're probably not playing whatever Gauntlet Boy is.
Imatek.
Thank you. Yeah, he's fine, and you can put him in a list. I don't think you're wrong too, especially if you're running, you know, fixed secondaries, which Hypercrypt is pretty good at. But you could just go tactical, which Hypercrypt is pretty good at, and not have to spend 100 points on a character. So.
Yeah, exactly. That,
yeah.
Whereas, you know, you take
the thing with Way Leaper is
it's got the CP, yeah, but it's
just an all-round useful unit,
and it's quite good in combat, and it's got the grenade keyword, and it moves really fast,
and it gets back up,
and it gets back up for 25 extra points. So, all of those things mean that, you know, you've got so much there for just 115 points. Whereas, yeah, a lot of the other stuff doesn't necessarily do that.
Before we get to the question in the chat, I do want to just point out, Sean says, I super struggle without it. I think he's talking about the additional CP. Sean, my brother, stop fucking CP rerolling. I've never seen you play a game. 100%, that is your problem. You will win so many more games if you just, like, go next GT you go to, don't use a single CP reroll. Some of them might be right to use, but just don't do any of them. You're going to fucking smash it, brother.
Absolutely. Right, so the next question, someone's finally asking the real questions, right? Christopher Richardson wants to know, what is the deal with Ed's background canvas thing? Is it a curtain? Is it a disused hammock? What are you hiding behind there? Ed, do you want to explain?
It's none of your fucking business.
I'll give you a little behind the scenes. A little behind the scenes. It's an interesting story. Basically, there's a mirror on my door, so you can just see my whole room if I have it there. A, it's a bit distracting. Less distracting than the fucking pirate flag. there are plans to remake. The problem is where I have my camera on my computer, it's quite a small room, so I'm gonna have to take the entire room apart and then rearrange the entire room just to fucking put it somewhere different. And I, you know, I'm not made a fucking effort, so I haven't done that. I'm a busy man. Yeah. So you get this delightful thing.
I think he bought it, Ed. I reckon we're okay. Moving on. Next up, we have Bloodrender asking, can we finally bin off the command reroll strat?
Oh!
On a 4-up, Alex.
On a 2-up, but you rolled a 1 the first time.
Ultimate Funk asks, do we even need CP? Ooh. I like CP.
Remember those days when you started with like 12?
Yeah, I like resource management in game. I wouldn't those want it days. To go away because you know I think it should, it's important. Yeah, Rob?
You know what we don't need is free strats.
And that's like why
they had this resource you have to manage very well, except for that unit, choose whatever you want.
They had to just fucking break the game and go, oh, it's just battle tactics. Haven't written the rules for that to be a consideration, but only one type of strats are good. That's probably fine, right? So can anyone do good battle tactics? Oh, fuck.
Do you reckon, I'd want to imagine the meeting where they were doing that data slate and they just like threw a dart at like the stratagem type they were going to make, the one they could actually use.
No, I think it was probably Crudus came in with pizza, like that fucking scene in Community where he walks back in and the entire room's on fire. And he's like, cool. Guess we're just going to fix things then. Everything's gone wrong. I stepped out for smoke and now, fuck. That sounds like I'm absolving him of blame for 10th edition. He's as much to blame as anyone else.
We've got another great question in chat from Existence UK. Are GW releasing codexes quickly enough? Should they release a second detachment like they did for Drakari for all those indexes that aren't due a codex in the next 6+, only 1+ there, Existence UK, months?
I think Drakari were a special case because you couldn't fix that detachment.
For me, it's about getting bored. Yeah. And I think if the balance, so take the Eldar, because they've been so overpowered, they're, what they've been able to take or what has been the build to go to has changed multiple times.
Yeah.
So as an Eldar player, I'm like, well, I've played 3 different styles of lists in a year. Some armies out there just get these little tweaks and it's just the same playstyle. I'm already quite bored of playing Eldar because it is the same sort of thing. And some armies are going to be stuck doing that. Knowing, yeah, sure, the odd unit might get a little bit of tweak, but it's not really changing the way your army plays. And I just think it's going to become really boring. I think in a year's time, you're going to have some armies out there who no one's really playing because there's nothing to innovate, and it's just boring as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah, I think it's a really good precedent as a patch, and I think I'm sure they'll pull that lever again at some point. And it just depends how. It gives you some indication that maybe Drakari might be a wild rob if they were pulling the lever on helping them out. But it's
well,
yeah,
I just wonder if it was one of the people were like, oh, Josh has done a great job writing a new detachment. I just assume it's one that they'd already written and gone, this is the best of them. We should just give them this to tide them over. I don't think, which makes me a little sad for AdMech players, because that means there's probably not a fix coming for them other than just go, some different points, I guess.
Take
have some more
150
stuff.
Models and see if it helps you. And they don't want that, right? You want to enjoy playing. Yeah.
I just heard heavy breathing from somewhere north of Birmingham.
It's so true. Yeah. But yeah, having a few extra models doesn't change the play, doesn't change what your army can do. And that's what you're seeing from the Drakari players. The new detachment is making Drakari players
it's enjoy the quality of life improvement.
Their army again.
Yeah.
It's now worth want. Living.
It's doing the things that you want.
It salvaged my entire enjoyment of the game.
It's fun. You want your army to be fun. And there are some armies out there which aren't particularly fun to play, or they have one play style and you can't play them realistically in any other way. And people are just going to get so bored. Maybe it's a GW thing. Oh, then they'll go buy new armies, and because we're poor suckers, like we will do. But it's not particularly ideal, is it, from our perspective? And that's a shame, because you do have those faction specialists. Like, you know, Death Guard got that kind of like that tweak, didn't they? And they got some new things and that sort of thing. But there will be armies out there who a year down the line don't have anything, potentially, and that will be shit for them. So, yeah, I think definitely.
Well, we're almost there.
I do have a little bit of hope, though. You know, over the last 6 months, we've seen the Death Guard update, we've seen the Drakari update, we've seen Grey Knights. They've changed the data sheet of Grey Knights to bring the Grand Masters.
It's such a small tweak, and it has transformed how.
So they do have the tools. So on the positive, optimistic side, you hope that they will try and keep things ticking over.
Yeah, I think so. I think the rate of change is pretty dizzying. Who, if you were all to guess right now, which army would get a new detachment first?
Oh god, it's not AdMech, even though it should be AdMech. That's the sad thing. Well, because they've got a book, so I think they'll pull a different lever for them. Mm. It's a difficult one.
Yeah,
I just thought GSC then Orcs, and then I realized there are the roadmaps.
They've both got books coming. That's the thing. Chaos
Demons, maybe.
Demons could be,
How about World Eaters? Give them a different place.
World Eaters might be one. Yeah,
give them a different... Instead of ripping and tearing, you can tear and rip.
Tear differently.
This one actually drags your opponent's army across the board towards you.
great shout from Existence UK. Imperial Knights. They need... What I'd like to see is them to release a new detachment, which is just the one they had on fucking launch, but without towering on the data sheet. You could go back to that. It wouldn't be oppressive. Just give the big knights the bondsman abilities back. Like, that's all you need to do to make people at least interested in trying them. And if you're interested in trying them, you'll have some people go, actually, I found a combination of things that's good. And you will get up to a solid 49% win rate. And that's fine. Mm. That's where they can languish until they get a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Sean Capewell asks, what's your thoughts on some armies having huge selections? For example, Space Wolves have the stuff and all the Marine stuff. So there's actually an underlying grievance that I've detected here, Sean, which relates much more to the Marine sort of specialist factions versus vanilla Marines crossover, which, you know, does affect a lot of Marines players right now. But I mean, some armies are just much bigger and have deeper collections than others, right? I feel like 10th suits big collection armies really well, because that is where you can get that genuine flavor of detachments actually meaningfully interacting with a wider range of units and styles in that army. And I think some of the smaller ones, you really feel the edge of the army very quickly with the index. You're like, I've got my six tools, I've got my like 15, 20 units, and I'm running out of combinations. I don't know what you guys think of this.
I was against it for Space Marines, because I thought, this is pretty unfair. I can play, you know, Dark Angels. I can run the incredible Deathwing Knights. I can put them in any of the, you know, Stormlance, I can advance and charge. Gladys, I can advance and charge. And then they released the Dark Angels book. I was like, oh, if I want to have an army that actually includes Dark Angels models, I either can't play competitively or I use the base rulebook strats, rulebook armies. And then I was suddenly like, yeah, no, this is probably fine, because otherwise, go fuck yourself for 4 years.
Yeah, I think so. I think it has, Marine players in general have become more chameleonic than they have historically been in the last edition. You know, I think that's something I'm a bit sad about, because I like when you can, you know, associate particular players with different things. But I guess the hope is, if entire sub-factions are being abandoned, then G-Dubs comes back and makes those attractive again, and then round you go, right?
I think, just a counterpoint there, it's a little bit of Imperium bias. We associate playstyles with the factions, but like, if you have a Necron player, no one's given Crumbleholm shit for playing Hypercrypt now instead of, you know, like the more Silvertide he was playing a couple of years ago.
No, but it's Crumbleholm didn't go on about Necrons repeatedly for like the last 5 years I knew him, so I think it's slightly different.
I'm going to tell a story about Mark right now, because this is a great fucking story, and if you see this, I'm not sorry, brother. So I saw Mark on, I believe it was just after game 4, and I'd seen his score, and he'd lost 95-97, I think it was. And I was getting some food, and I was talking to Antonio, and he came in, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he went, "Don't." So already he's not happy about the fact he's lost by 2. Anyway, he has some food, and he gets into a bit of a better mood, and he comes up and he finds me and goes, "Do you know how I lost?" He couldn't count. He thought he had 50 primary. He had 45. The best thing is, he hadn't put it in the app wrong. He just counted wrong. Mark is one of the best players that I've ever met. He is so fundamentally good, so tactically good. He's so sharp. He makes all the right plays. Yeah. He gets like hundreds. If I saw that man with 500s at an event, I'd be like, "Day at the office, then." Sound, you've not hit, you know, one of the best players in the world, and you've just demolished everyone else. But he lost because both him and his opponent failed to count the fact that he hadn't scored 50 on primary.
That's rough.
He's so lovely as well. I felt very bad for him while laughing at his face. Anyway, what were we talking about?
I think we were talking about Marines, but I don't know how much more I have to add to it. Sean's added the example of the 6 Gladiator Reapers in Templars, and I think it does highlight this kind of scraping of the different.
So that's different.
As always, the balance implications.
You have a rant, Rob. You take the lead on this one.
Go on, the problem with that many detachments, with that many data sheets, you're never going to have balanced Marines. You're always going to have Marines that are. There's going to be an overcooked build, and there's going to be all the other builds that don't quite keep up because you're paying the tax and other detachments.
And standard Marines are always going to be way down, because why would you run them when you can do one of the others?
So 2 points. First of all, the 6 Gladiator Reaper build is not what it should be. It's just like it's rule abuse. And I'm not blaming the people for taking it. It's legal. Tournament organizers should have looked at it and gone, they're the same fucking data sheet. Obviously, you can't do that. Like, why are we allowing this as a community to just be like, find the fucking difference in the picture. They're the same picture. I can't have 6 of them. You can't have 2 fucking hot dogs. Yeah. Pick one. You can have one of the hot dogs. Anyway, second, it's fucking dumb. Like, who legitimately, as a tournament organizer, looks at this and goes, "Oh yes, business is normal. This is a thing that I should be having." I mean, it's probably my fault. I didn't put a complaint in. You know, I should have emailed in and gone, "Zach, do you think we should maybe not allow this?" And, you know, raise it. So, you know, fucking more fool me. I haven't played against it. Just upset at the reality that it exists. But then also the more interesting point is, the change to Tau battle suits, I think, is a really good example of how you can balance an army if you take away the million combinations. They're cheaper and they're more focused, and that means that you can make them, you know, better at a role. And I think if Marines were more focused, that would be good in a way. I just don't see them having I don't know. I was just going to say something rude. I just don't think they'd get it right.
They always start out all right, and then towards the end, when you have all the supplements, they just get bloated.
Yeah, completely. In the meantime, you're just gonna go where the power is, I think, and just lean into the special chapters. There's literally no reason not to, because you're just saying, "Oh, I'll play without some kind of secret force multiplier or better combat unit or better shooting unit." That's where it's at.
The best thing is Thunderwolf Cav right now, really good on UKTC. Also incredibly fun to play. I've played against it twice. Both times, my opponent has been enjoying themselves, even though I think Sam was that, like, unbelievably hungover. Still was having a good time.
Yeah. I believe Sean is actually acquiring some Ultramarines on horses as we speak. So Sean has that in mind. Everyone's trying to find out how to make their legion look like Thunderwolf Cavalry without looking like Thunderwolf Cavalry. Right, wonderful. Okay. Jack Asher asks, what's everyone's drink of choice?
Vodka lime lemonade.
Old fashioned.
Oh, Rock City. Old fashioned versus Cuba Libre, I'd say.
A flat white.
Nice.
I don't really drink anymore.
No, my, you don't.
Alcohol makes my missus ill. I don't drink on my own because if I do that, I will be dead in 5 years because of the personality I have. Like, I fucking play Warhammer religiously. Obviously, I have an issue with addiction. Don't drink on my own.
I'm with you on that.
And then I don't really have the energy or enthusiasm to go out drinking. So, yeah, it's coffee.
Yeah. For non-alcoholic drinks, Orangina. Just love an Orangina. It's the best. When summer's coming, that's where I'll be.
Lemon Fanta, if you're having a Chinese. Cuts through the grease.
Only then.
I don't normally drink fizzy drinks. Just when you're having something really greasy, like a pizza or curry. Curry? Yeah, no, pizza or Chinese. You want something to cut through that, I reckon.
We've got Pickalax asking thoughts on the imbalance between what can use tank shock. So I feel like they think it was meant to be used by rhinos and other tanks for a few mortals, but the main users are dreadnoughts and armages for a cheap six mortals.
Yeah. It's pretty dumb.
Yeah, it's silly.
If you're going to do that, at least let monsters have it as well. Like, let a Carnifex tank shock. It basically should. It's
it makes no sense. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, monsters should. That was actually, I was going to say, just release a redone Crusher Stampede detachment, GW. Give us all PTSD. Put Crusher Stampede back out with better rules and take nids back to monsters. Would be great.
I was sold at reduced Crusher Stampede because fuck me, that is so bad. I don't think we did a crack in the codex on it because I just couldn't find anything good to say about it.
That's fair. Yeah. And our final question from Will Steal Your Jeans. Does anyone remember when heroic intervention was a thing? I remember.
I didn't find it a problem because you just go, I'm going to be just outside of range of your character while still doing the thing.
I used to plan for it a lot.
It was
lot
a communication
more.
Thing again, wasn't
yeah.
it? When you, yeah. When you play with your players, you know that you're in heroic if you do that. Like, oh yeah, cool. It was like it made situations impossible and you wouldn't use it as a gotcha. That's how I played it anyway.
But also you couldn't, you didn't have to base. So it almost entirely didn't matter. You go, cool, I'm just going to string back with these models, then I'm going to pile in so I'm not heroic intervention.
Yeah. There were some armies with it, like Space Wolves had it, Empress Children had it, where it was quite a cool sort of fight phase control way of playing the game that has been lost a little bit. And I guess fight first is sort of our replacement, but yeah.
You know what I miss? Fight last.
Don't even get me started. My favorite thing in the entire world. Just love it so much.
I forgot that was gone.
Yes, dead.
That might be the best thing about 10th edition.
Piss off.
Shard, you can't make
me. It's awful. Is that, like, I literally can't because you'll interrupt and kill me before I can get anywhere.
No, it's fine. Everyone knows custodies are going to be bad on release. Translation, they're going to be fucking mega.
Haven't
seen any rules, but, you know. I'm just assuming that people can't evaluate stuff on paper, so looking forward to that. They're going to be fucking mint. No, Bites. Unless they rewrite the data sheet, Bites would be bad. Are you ready for 18 Venatari? That's the fucking...
That'd be fun. Rapid Ingress Masterclass. Let's go.
Mm-mm.
All right. That takes us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for your support. We're having a great time this year, and so we really hope you carry on. Do hit subscribe, leave us a comment, tell us we did it wrong, tell us we did it right, anything you'd like to see done differently, and you do consider becoming a member as well, supporting us on the YouTube. We will be back next week where we're going to be having a deep dive on the great divide that is faction specialists versus army hoppers. We've got a few people that always go off about this in our team. I'm going to bring them all on. They're all going to argue. I can't wait. It's going to be really, really incendiary, and we will see you then. Bye-bye.